Well, today I'm going to do part three of the restoration series. Since we're restoring this auditorium, painting, building this stage out here like this, going to get new pews, new carpet, restoring. We did a series on restoration. Today is part three. And I want to go and look at a guy in the Bible. It's misunderstood by many, but I want to discover how God helped him in a mighty way. Turn to the book of Job. It's considered the oldest book in the Bible. Nobody knows for sure exactly the time period that the events took place, but they do know it's one of the oldest books in the Bible. Some people think that he lived during the time of Abraham, but we don't really know. There's no real good explanation for it. So today, the title of the message is Restored Twice as Much. Restored Twice as Much. Now, we start out in the first chapter of Job, and it says there was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, 50 female donkeys. He employed many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in the entire area. Now, Jacob's sons would take turns preparing feasts in their home. They would also invite their 3 sisters to celebrate with them. When these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. For Job said to himself, perhaps they have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular practice. One day, members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser Satan came. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered, I've been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He's the finest in all the earth. He's blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. Satan replied, yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You have always put a wall of protection around his home and his property. You have made him prosperous in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will curse you to your face. All right, you may test him, the Lord said to Satan. Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. So Satan left the Lord's presence. Now, it says he was the greatest in all the East. The God's Word translation said he was the most influential person in the Middle East. Now we drop down to 13, verse 13, and one day, Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the older brother's house. A messenger arrived at Jacob's home with the news, your oxen were plowing and with the donkeys feeding beside them, and when the Sabaeans raided us, they stole all the animals, killed all the farm animals. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was speaking, another messenger arrived with the news of that the fire of God had fallen from heaven and burned up. It wasn't from God, but anyway, fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep and all the shepherds. I'm the only one left. While he was still speaking, a third messenger arrived with the news. 3 bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with the answer. Your sons and daughter were feasting in their oldest brother's home, and suddenly a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed and all your children dead. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. Job stood up and tore his robe in grief, and then he shaved his head and fell to the ground to worship. Now, here we see that Job suffered a great tragedy. We see that here he is in this situation. Then in 2, Satan come again, says the Lord left the Lord's presence, and he went to the Satan went again and said, well, he lost his possessions, but he didn't curse you. So take away protection from him. and he'll curse you. And say, and so Job then had boils, and he scraped his skin with broken pottery and sat in the ashes. And there he was in that condition. Now, when somebody has difficult times today, they try to equate themselves to Job. You know, some people live their whole life going through great difficulties and trouble, not having much, and they say, I'm a Job. He went through troubles in his life. Some people even call themselves Job Jr. But we need to know the truth about Job, okay? When we do, it'll help us get through our difficult times. Now, many people wonder why bad things happen to them. Now, here, there are many theories about how this all happened to Job and why God would allow Satan to do this, because it was, but I think the answer is Job opened the door to allow the enemy in. He opened the door of fear. It says when these celebrations ended in 1:5, sometimes after 7 days, Job would purify his children. Perhaps they had sinned against God. It doesn't say that he made a sacrifice because they had. It says he made a sacrifice because he feared they might have. We can see this was a regular practice. Here we see that Job let fear rule him. In 3:25, he says, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." That's King James, New King James. God's word says, "What I fear most has overtaken me. What I dread happened to me." New Living. "What I've always feared has happened to me. What I dreaded came true." I want you to notice that he was greatly in fear. He was living his life in fear. He had a fear problem. So we hear, we can see that he was constantly afraid that something was going to happen. We need to get a grip on fear and not allow fear to get a hold of us. Fear unchecked will bring in bad consequences. We have a choice. We can have faith or we can have fear. Fear opens the door to the devil and allows him to come into our area and destroy us. Faith opens the door for God to continually bless us and keep us safe, because we are trusting in him and we're saying we are not afraid because we know who our God is. Nobody really knows the time period of how long that it took for all of this to take place, but most Bible scholars believe that at the most, it was about 9 months at the most. Actually, if you will go into many of the Bibles that put a date on the top of the pages, and in some Bibles at the beginning of the book, it'll say that this book took place during this, such and such a time, from this time frame to this time frame. On the book of Job, on every page, it's the same. It's the same date. So that tells you that it took place within that year period. But we see that during this time period of all of this disaster that struck, he had no encouragement from anybody. His wife told him to curse God and die. His three friends came as comforters and stayed as tormentors. And they kept telling me all this happened to him because he sinned. But Job constantly refuted that and said to his miserable comforters, that were accusing him. That's not so. You know, sometimes when we get a visit for somebody, when we're going through a problem, you know, after they come and visit us, we feel worse after they leave. You know, they imply somehow that because everything is happening to you, it's your fault. That's what Job's comforters told him. You know, I guess they were cousins to Job's comforters. You know, sometimes during, at some point, let me say it that way, during this trouble, Job declared in Job 14:14, if a man dies, shall he live again all the days of my hard service. I will wait till my change comes. I want you to notice, even in the midst of all of this, he's trusting God, and he says, I'll wait till my change comes. He declared that he'll wait for it because he was trusting God and he expected it. See, if you trust in God in faith, you expect something. He said, okay, I may be down, I may be, you know, all of this, but hey, my change is coming. He speaks of praying to God. You can, when you read it, and he talks about God answering him and restoring him. You know, when he began to speak these words, that's when he opened the door to allow God to come in and take control. In the final chapters, in 38 through 41, God comes to visit him and tells him not to be presumptuous or fearful, but to trust him. And now when God confronted Job, he repented and obeyed God. He made some changes based upon what God told him. And remember that in Job's day, there was no Bible. He couldn't turn to Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He couldn't read what Paul wrote. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, today when trouble comes, you know, we can have God's promises. We need to resist fear by quoting the word of God. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. See, that scripture, you need to learn that scripture. And when fear of any kind comes, you need to quote that scripture. I quote that scripture several times a day as I'm confronted with all of the operation of this ministry, this worldwide ministry, with all of the schools, 200 and some odd of them now, all over, 251, I think, that are approved, and 230 are online, I think. And then this local body. And then about 4,000 churches pastored by Rhema pastors. You know, I wear about 4 or 5 different hats. Because when it gets to my desk, there's nowhere else to go. So I go to God. But, I mean, you get memos coming across your desk and stuff coming. And my wife, she's the chief financial officer, and she'll say, you know, man, this just happened. Look at this bill. In fact, something happened this week. I forgot what it was that she told me. I forgot now, some $20,000 or something. And you know, the enemy said, what are you going to do? You don't have it. What are you going to do? You're going to have it. I just said, I'm not being given a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. My trust is in God. I'm not going to let fear get a hold of me. See, if I let fear get a hold of me, it will destroy. See, what did he say? The thing I feared, the thing I dreaded has come upon me. I know people that they have some sort of a pain. Oh, I got cancer. They're afraid. That's fear ruling. Hello? You need to say every day, I got a sound body. I got a whole body that's healed by the power of God. Disease can't live in my body in Jesus' name. Come on. Fear opens the door for a lot of bad things. Resist fear by quoting the word. Express your faith by quoting what the Bible says. The Bible says that no weapon formed against me will prosper. You know how many letters we get? People, you know, saying all kinds of things, threatening all kinds of things through the years. Don't look at me like that. We do. Some of the people that work in the ministry know that. They've seen it. Hey, you know, oh, fear could get, they're going to cause a law. They're going to bring a lawsuit. They're going to get you. I don't have the spirit of fear, but a power of love and sound mind. Fear, get out of here. Hello. See, you've got to get, if you open that door, you don't want to walk down that road. Job opened the door for disaster to come to him because he said, the thing I greatly fear, the thing I dreaded has come upon me. So he was living in fear every day that he was going to lose everything. How many of you live in fear that you're going to lose everything? Some people do. I live in the promises of God. This is the day the Lord has made. All my needs are met according to his riches in glory. I'm an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Nothing that comes against me shall prosper. See? Or you can be wringing your hands and say, oh my, what am I going to do? Oh, this may happen. That may happen. That's fear. Anybody getting this? You know, you can either quote Mark 11:23, whatever you say will happen, or you can say, oh no, what's going to happen next? Oh man, look what just happened. Oh, what's going to happen next? I tell you what's going to happen next. Whatever you say, if you say the word's going to happen. If you lean into fear, then disaster's going to come take place. Now let's look at this for just a moment. Job, you know, he prayed. He prayed for his friends. It says, 42:10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. It says here, the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Those guys that come in and told him all the junk, he prayed for them. He quit thinking about his own self and started praying for them. They're the ones that needed prayer. Then he's trusting God. He knows where he's at. He stopped being concerned about what happened to him and started being concerned about what happened to others. He showed that in his darkest moment, that when you pray for others with a genuine concern, it opens a door for God to start moving for you. What did Jesus say? Pray for those that despitefully use you. Come on. You want restoration? Start praying for the people that have said stuff against you. You know, all of y'all, most of you probably looked at Google and seen what they say about Kenneth Hagin and about our ministry. You know what? I say, Lord, forgive them. I pray for them. They don't know what they're doing. Hello. That's right. I don't try to combat it. You know, you gotta learn how to get thick skinned and not, oh, well, I just can't believe they're saying that about me. Who cares what they say? If you know who you are in Christ and what you're doing for God is what God told you to do, forget about it. It don't amount to nothing anyway. You start messing around with it, you'll get in fear yourself and you'll open the door for more junk to happen. Come on. See, as you pray for others, God will start moving on your behalf. You know, look at this. It says there in 42, in Job 42:10, that he just didn't restore him. It says twice as much. The Message Bible says God restored his fortune and then doubled it. The Wycliffe Bible says the Lord restored all things double to Job. Now let's go back here. Let's go back here. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. So that means if he got double, now at the end when God restored everything, he had 14 sons and 6 daughters. Because it says he restored double everything he lost. He owned 7,000 sheep. Now he's got 14,000 sheep. Right? If everything is restored, doubled. He owned 3,000 camels. Now he's got 6,000 camels. 500 teams of oxen. Now he got 1,000 teams of oxen. He had 500 female donkeys. Now he's got 1,000 female donkeys. He employed many servants. Don't tell you how many they are, but now he's got double the servants. You're going to need double the servants if you got double all the sheep and the camels and the donkeys and all of that. Hello. God restored to him double. And it all goes back to when he realized he's in fear, he changed that. But it goes back to the fact that even with all of his trouble, all his disaster, all of the junk that happened to him, he never quit trusting God. He kept trusting God. Though God slay me, I'm going to trust him. 3 Hebrew children said, we believe God will deliver us, but if he doesn't, we still going to trust God. Hello. You see, when you know what your God will do for you, there's no fear. I want you to notice Job's past didn't decide what God would do for him. Too many people allow their past to dictate their future. Forget about what happened in the past. Focus on what God can do for you now. He didn't begin to complain, oh God, I lost everything. Oh, blah, 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 blah. No, he went and he said, I trust God. I believe God. And God restored. Say it, God restores. Your past is not a standard of God's performance in the future. God's promises are the standard for God's performance for you today, tomorrow, and every day. His promises. Not what's happened, but what's his promise? More than enough. He's the God of more than enough. You see,
God said, okay. He was tested, but he didn't bow. He didn't quit trusting God. The three Hebrew children went in a furnace, but they didn't quit trusting God. Daniel went into the lion's den, but he didn't quit trusting God. Job went through disaster, but he didn't quit trusting God. But when he come out on the other side, God said, okay, you didn't turn on me. Yes, you had a door open and allowed the devil to come in. But now, because you continue to trust me, even though the enemy came in and stole from you, I'm going to give it back to you. And if you'll read about the three Hebrew children, and if you'll read about Daniel, when they came out of the fiery furnace and when they came out of the lion's den, God restored them to a higher position than they were when they went in the fire and when they went in the lion's den. If you will trust God, he is, like I said last week, he is the turnarounder. He will turn your situation around. He's the master turnarounder. He's the master restorer. If you look at Job, when you get to the last part of that book and you look at Job, you would say, man, this guy's something else. He ain't never had no trouble. But you wasn't there when he got to where he is now. In the latter years, you look at our ministry, my dad, and now we're there with me and Craig and Denise and our family. You weren't there when dad was preaching faith, just like he preaching out, and we were on rock bottom. We weren't on the bottom of the barrel. We was under it, like he said. Many of you have heard him say it. See, you only saw us in the latter years, but we kept preaching faith, kept living faith, kept doing what God said to do, no matter what anybody said, no matter what anybody does. We kept trusting God. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. But look at us now. You weren't here when I stood in that window in my office and looked across this campus and had a pile of bills that thick. And the devil started screaming, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What you going to do now? How are you going to pay all these bills? You ain't got the money. I got my Bible. I put it on the floor. And I stood on it just like that and looked out across that campus. They were building these buildings, three of them coming together at one time. And I had those bills. I said, I'm going to stand on the word. This is God said, do it. I believe what God said. And you can look around this campus, and they're all here today. And we're still here today. And I don't care what the devil says. We'll be here tomorrow. And we'll be here the next day. And we'll still be talking faith. And God will restore you. He will put you where he wants you if you will believe him and accept him. Hallelujah. Look what God can do for you if you'll keep believing him and keep trusting him. In the middle of your worst nightmare, God will restore to you like he did for Job. In the middle of your worst day, God will restore. If God restored Job where he lived, he'll restore you where you live. He's the master restorer. He is the restorer of the double to everybody that will believe. I believe God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sing something.
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand up?
Nothing can stand.
then God will do it again. If he's never done it once, he'll do it again. And we can see in the Word of God where he's done it a bunch of times. So he'll do it for you. He'll do it for me. He'll do it for your neighbor. He'll do it for everybody that will believe him. He'll do it for all you that are watching. Hallelujah. Glory to God.